B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, how are you feeling personally, health-wise?
Right.
And understanding there's a lot of unknowns here, as you referenced, I believe. What is just your general level of concern with the team's continued good health?
What's my level of concern with it?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes. How concerned are you with the teams? How concerned are you that the players and the coaches will remain healthy and continue to turn back the test results that you want?
Well, there's nothing more important than the health of the team. I mean, without a healthy team, you don't have a team. So that's priority number one. And I'd say not only for our team, but also for their families and people that are close to them. So that's always our number one concern. And, you know, we'll try to do everything we can to make that the best that we can make it. That's the way it's always been, and that's not going to change. So whatever we have to do that, then that'll be what we do. We've always approached it that way. This is different, but it's really, you know, based on the same criteria.
Belichick again today addressing the Gilmore COVID situation. Continue to play cuts from that throughout the afternoon. Obviously, Bill in full peni mode. Even though he said he's feeling great.
Still,
hawking virtual loogies at the media. Are you concerned? What do you mean concerned?
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What do you think I mean, Bill? Are you concerned?
Oh, God, please. Again, what's your level of concern?
What does that mean?
It means what's your level of concern, you a-hole? Again, seriously, where's the gray area of that? Like, that question's been asked a million times in the sports media. What's your level of concern? William Richard Belichick. His friends call him Dick.
Anyway, you think they have to play this weekend? They have to play all these games?
I do, because the more you think about it, if they start piling up games, Mike, week 18 and week 19 aren't enough. And I'm not even just talking about teams racking up five games. Let's say the Patriots miss two and the Bills miss two, but they don't miss them against each other. Right? Like, my point, the Bills miss two others.
I prefer we not do this on the air, but right.
My point is you'll actually need 3 weeks to make up those two games.
It's a jigsaw puzzle that may not line up.
Right. It doesn't line up. It gets too convoluted. So you got to try to play everyone you can. And if you have to bump them back to Monday, that's fine. Like, I'm okay with that scenario. Even Tuesday, I'll give you. Like, okay, fine. So it's a 5-day work week to prep for 4 days to get ready for the next game. But you've got to play them. You have to. Otherwise, at the end of the year, you're not going to get what you want, which is a 16-game schedule. It's going to be a cluster. The thing's going to be a cluster. I don't think there's a way around that. It's going to be a complete clown show.
Okay.
Well, and Perillo says, well, you hope you get practice in the next 2 days. You play the game on Monday. What if you don't get practice? What if someone starts coming down positive the next couple days? You're not out of the woods of that yet either. Oh, it's a freaking cluster.
Okay. We continue with your thoughts on the cluster. How about Aldo and Ludlow? You're up next with Felger and Mass. Hi, Aldo.
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Paul, Jim, Felger, Mass, you guys are great. Did they, when they signed up for this, sign off that they could not protest, in the regular season?
Not sure about that. I don't think do you think the NFL players have been out protesting?
No, the ownership of the teams. In regular seasons, they can protest certain things.
Yeah.
Did they stipulate that under no circumstance would you be able to do this?
File a formal protest. We want to protest the result of this game. Why? Should the Patriots have done that for Monday in Kansas City?
That's what I mean, right.
Why?
The owners.
So why would they protest?
Have done that? Or did they sign off saying you can't?
Although, I haven't heard of a team protest a game in my lifetime in football. It used to happen in baseball every now and then.
Because that's baseball and they're babies.
And it's like old school. They're like, I'm going to file a protest. Like, you could do that back in the olden days. Do you file protests for NFL games?
No.
When's the last time that happened?
And the other thing is, again, like, based on what? The rules are the same for everybody. If what happened to the Patriots last weekend had happened to another team, the outcome would have been the same. Like, the protest comes when you are treated differently than everybody else in the same scenario.
The Crafts, their fellow owners, and the players, players' union, all agreed to the same protocols, the same course of action, the same doctors calling the shots, and so they are going ahead with what they'd set before the season. And even just generically, even if it's not in writing, I think it's clear what they determined was, we're going to push the limits of this. If it's at all borderline, we're still going to play. And it's going to take something really big and a big outbreak for us to postpone or cancel a game. Otherwise, we're going to push the limits. And if you don't want to do it, you can opt out. And here's the opt-out window. And love you, mean it. You want to sign off and not play under these conditions, that's fine. But this is what we're going to do. They all signed off on it. Okay? So that's number one. There's nothing to protest. But it's awful hard to protest when it was your players who were infected that caused the issue. They were your players. And again, I will just tell you that I'm not blaming them per se. Like, I'm not demonizing them per se. But it is harder to get than you think, meaning COVID. If generally speaking, if you are careful and you do the right things, it's hard to get. It's hard to get.
Their actions increase their risk of contracting it. So how is that the NFL's fault?
So you are responsible for your actions. And this does not mean, I'm not telling you to arrest Cam Newton or Stephon Gilmore. But you have to be exceedingly careful if you want to continue this season and play this season and not contract the virus.
Now you're asking for less whining.
And were they less than exceedingly careful? My guess is yes. And so you then have to live with the consequences. You can't protest it when it was your players that caused the issue in the first place. What are you talking about?
Exactly. And again, and just as importantly, if not more so, the rules are the same for everybody. They're the same for everybody. It's not like they have one set of rules for the Patriots and one set of rules for everybody else. The rules are the same for everybody. And I'm really starting to believe now that the league believes what we were told yesterday in our interview with Paul Sachs at the Brigham, which is the transmission during games is unlikely, which means play it. Play it. That's the least of our concerns. When you're on the field for the games,
it might be.
Right. The odds, you know, and again, I'm just going by odds here. They look at it and say the transmission chances during the game are lower than at any other point, you know, relative to being on a bus or being in a locker room. So once we get to game day, we're playing the freaking game. Like, I wonder if they've sort of settled on that.
But I'm just saying that for the Patriots to be irritated with the league, I think takes some gall when it might have been their players that let their guard down. So that the reason you're in that spot having to travel to Kansas City the day of the game is because your players let their guard down. And the reason you may have to play Denver without any practice time is because your players may have done the wrong thing. Again, doesn't make them bad people or anything like that. But, you know, were they exceedingly careful and done everything the way the team and the league wanted it? My guess is probably not. Because, again, as Paul Sachs told us yesterday, it's harder to get than we give it credit for. Or had given it credit for. And, you know, I want to play this sound again because, you know, I don't know. I'm with Maz. I don't think you're getting it during the game. And as careless as it might have been for Stephon Gilmore to get in the face of Pat Mahomes after the game, that's not really how you get it either. It's not really how you get it. You get it by putting yourself in that situation, which is a closed room, close contact, no mask. Like, that's the bulk of it. That's the bulk of the transmission. You can say, yeah, you can get it going grocery shopping. But the fact is, it's really hard to get it going grocery shopping. It really is hard. You know, wear your mask, keep your distance, keep it moving. You're pretty much not going to get it grocery shopping or pumping gas. That's not how you're going to get it. You're going to get it by being in the wrong place and putting yourself in that position in a closed room without your mask on, with people you don't know, or something like that. That's what it's going to be. So, Paul, Maz asked Paul Sachs, he's the director of infectious diseases at Brigham and Women, yesterday about, you know, there's no transmission during games is what it feels like. And so Sachs gave us this answer on that.
It does appear that these very transient exposures, you know, just a short-term spending time with someone are not risky at all, which is why, you know, I tell my friends, you know, don't yell at the person who jogs by you who's not wearing a mask, who's exercising and not wearing a mask. That's not going to infect you. But it's really the hanging out with somebody, especially in the context where you're talking, singing, shouting, dining. Those are all very risky. And anyone who's dining with someone else is putting themselves potentially in a risky situation, because when you're dining, you can't wear a mask, and you're often indoors and potentially sitting very close to people. So that's why restaurants and bars have been targeted as places that are potential COVID spreaders.
Talking, singing, shouting, eating in an enclosed place. That's it. That's the bulk of it. That's the vast, vast majority of it. Churches, choirs, I keep reiterating, talk show host studios, filthy places, enclosed small restaurants, bars, etc. That's it. That's the bulk of the transmission. And so the odds are that's how Newton got it or Gilmore got it. And so you have to live with those consequences. Doesn't make them horrible people. It means they let their guard down, which is tough. Like, no one's perfect. We've all done it at some point. You can't be perfect every second of the day. So they weren't, but that's the deal. And if it were the opponent who's starting quarterback, let their guard down and couldn't play, I know what you'd be saying. Work playing. Kickoff. It doesn't fair. Doesn't matter. We've all agreed to the protocols.
I guarantee you that's what Bill would be saying.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
He's no fool.
He wouldn't talk about safety first. Are you talking about football? You're talking about this is what we've all agreed to and we followed the rules. So maybe you didn't follow the rules to a T. You got to suffer the consequences. That's sort of my thought. They have no right to be irritated is the bottom line on that. Back to your phones right after these words.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stephon Gilmore told us he was asymptomatic, or announced it via social media. I'm just curious if you have an update for us on Cam Newton, how he's feeling.
I haven't talked to him in a day, so I'm not sure. I don't have anything current for you.
Do you anticipate he'll be able to take part in meetings?
In virtual meetings?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
Just asking.
Yeah, no, I mean, anybody that tested positive wouldn't be allowed to be in any in-person meetings until they're cleared medically. So that's that. But in terms of virtual meetings, yeah, absolutely.
Mike Giardi there, right?
That's how I feel.
A little tone?
Totally.
Can you give me a little tone, Bill?
I mean, seriously, it's like...
Why are you asking?
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he?
Just asking. Just doing my job, dude.
I mean, at some point, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. And I get it. He can be very intimidating and all of that. But at some point, don't you just want to snap back and be like, can you just act like a normal human being?
I'm sitting
here. Just asking,
just
Bill.
Just trying to do my job, man.
Just asking.
I know you're not going to give me anything, like blood from a stone, but just trying to ask. That's all.
Just asking.
And I'll tell you, with the way Belichick then answered that just asking or replied to it.
It snapped him out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I think Bill kind of realized, oh, he probably sounded like a dick there.
Just asking.
So, like, oh, yeah, you know, because I think it's a fair question. Like, you know, what if Newton is, you know, has symptoms? They're telling us he's asymptomatic, but what if he's not? What if he's got, like, a really high fever and his doctor said, no, cool it, just sleep. And he can't be on the meetings. Now, I'm not telling you I would believe that.
If he's not? I mean, it's not exactly what Giardi asked, but what if he's not playing, therefore not in on the game plan?
Yeah, right.
And so he's not there.
Yeah, I just think there's a million reasons to ask it. But, you know, is he in on those meetings? Yeah. Okay, there you go. Thanks. Was that so hard?
Yeah, why?
Just asking,
Bill.
Yeah, we just want to know, is he going through prep for the game like everyone else, which makes him an option to play?
Okay, back to your phones here, as promised. Here's Paul in Maine. Go, Paul.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm just asking.
Looking into the future here, but given the current state of the NFL right now regarding the virus, don't you think they should be considering a bubble scenario for the playoffs?
Yes.
If the league wants a Super Bowl unaffected by COVID, doesn't the prepping for that need to start happening pretty much now?
100%. Bubble in the playoffs. They should do some sort of hybrid or near bubble now for the rest of the regular season if they could muster it. Feels like there's no movement towards that. When you get to the playoffs, has to be a bubble.
Yeah, I mean, they've discussed that allegedly, right?
I think that's been on the table.
Yeah, so...
But again, just the postseason.
Yeah, so that makes total sense. I mean, again, especially if you can't get fans in any of the stadiums.
Jimmy and Brighton, back to our Tuukka Rask conversation. He says he doesn't want to leave Boston. He wants to be a Boston Bruin for the rest of his career. What do you think?
Yeah, his friend, it's music to my ears listening to all you guys, beautiful, legendary cast members. But love your radio program. But and you're speaking about Mikhail Rask today, and I love it because I think Boston, I think, finally has come to grips with the reality that Tuukka Mikhail Rask will not win a Stanley Cup. He's talented, yes, I know, I'll give that. He just don't got the stones. He's got the poop pants. Get the DN Van Lines over there today. No way a couple more years. It's been beyond time. Philadelphia Series 2010 was beyond time. Love the show.
Okay. I think they're right to stick with him after that Philly series. He went on to have a hell of a career. But enough is enough is what I would say. They could use that money better elsewhere. Sean and Lowell, your thoughts on that?
Yes. I'm wondering, does this mean he's going to retire? Because he's quit on the team the last 2 years in the playoffs during a cup run. So, and he's already contemplated, you know, retiring already. So he's already got one foot out the door already.
So
he doesn't want to play for another team.
Right, Sean. Maz asked that before. And it's a fair question because Rask does not have no trade protection anymore, meaning he can't block a trade. And the Bruins can trade him to any team they want whenever they want. So is this, Rask never mentioned retirement here. He wasn't asked about it and didn't mention it. It's not in this story. But is that a tacit sort of statement to whatever team's trading for him that says, I don't want to be there. I'm not going to want to go to your team. I might retire. I only want to be a Bruin, so don't even bother trading for me. Is that Rask peeing in the pool?
I mean, I think it's his attempt to. At the end of the day, he doesn't have any real leverage other than retirement. You know, this is sort of like Gronk, right? And I'm using that analogy loosely. But no, I'm playing for this team, and, you know, I don't want to play for anybody else. The other thing is, do you want to trade for a guy who doesn't want to play for you? Like, there's also that sort of thing. Teams would look at it and go, why would we give up something significant here when the guy doesn't want to be here?
Yeah, and so Steve Conroy wrote this. It's not a quote, but Conroy wrote, it certainly sounds like any team that might acquire Rask would not be getting the happiest of campers. Rask said, I don't see any reason for that. I've been here for a long time, and the organization's been so great for me. We built our home in Boston, and we call this home. So, yeah, I don't want to play for anybody else. I think where my head is at, focusing on next year and then probably a couple more years after that, and then pass the torch for the next guy after that. I want to help the organization as much as I can. Ay, ay, ay. So a couple more years after this?
No. No. Don't extend him. And if he's threatening retirement because of that, then fine. You just play here one more year and then leave. Like, get out of here.
I'd do everything they could now. I think now is the time. On Cam Newton. Excuse me, on Tuukka Rask. Cam Newton's time will be after this year. Sean in the car on Cam Newton. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, I'm not surprised at all by the Patriots and their reaction and them being mad at the league. I mean, that's their MO, right? Deny, deny, accuse.
Yes, wrong
and deny, deny, accuse.
That's right.
But quickly on Cam Newton, you guys said that all of the Patriots today, besides Gilmore, tested negative. Does that mean Cam Newton tested negative?
That's a good question.
Unclear.
That's a good question. That wasn't specified in the reporting. But a bunch of the guys said the Patriots test results came back clean overnight. And that was pretty much it. It wasn't specified about Cam Newton.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything contrary to that.
Because if Cam Newton, I think, from what I understand now, if he just tests negative two straight days, he can come back.
Right.
I mean, Gilmore can play this week, for crying out loud, by that protocol. If with someone that says that the tests all came back negative, does that mean Newton and Gilmore?
Yeah, see, I doubt it. I think the guys that are in the protocol are different.
Okay.
I think that they're just talking about additional positives. That's how I read it anyway.
Wasn't specified. Mike in the truck on the QB situation. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, the Patriots are lucky that Cam fell into their laps the way that he did. That's not going to happen again. I think they need to hope that they can get him to sign some type of contract, 2 years or whatever, to try and bridge this thing, because after watching those two stiffs Monday night, they're obviously not the answer. And I had high hopes for Stidham, but he's now thrown 3 picks in 5 series as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, it's grim. Hold on. Jacob in Kingston's been waiting patiently. Jacob, thanks for hanging on. You got a thought on this?
Yes. It's been said over and over that, like, we know what Hoyer is and we don't know what Stidham is. What I think we should do is, if you throw Stidham out there first and he doesn't do well, he pukes on himself like Hoyer did, I feel like it would be the safer bet to put Hoyer in for Stidham at halftime if Stidham weren't going to do well. I feel like that would make more sense instead of doing what you just did against the Chiefs and having the same result. I know it's not as good of a team, but
well,
you know,
I understand
what you're saying.
Just flip the order. Have Stidham be the guy. If he pukes on himself, Hoyer's ready to go. Just flip it. I mean, I could see them doing that. I could also see them sticking with Hoyer because, again, other than the just atrocious, unbelievable mistakes that he made, he did move the team.
Yes.
They were 3 13-play drives with him at the helm.
But those mistakes were so egregious. If I was a teammate and I was told, yeah, we're starting this suck bag again, I'd already be like, oh, God, we have no shot. He's going to blow it again somehow.
So maybe you just... You start Hoyer, you get to the red zone, and you hand it off.
Or get thrown out of bounds and kick on second down. Take him off and just kick. Because this week, that's all you might need. I mean, really.
I'd feel better about the idea of starting Stidham if they had a full week of practice. I'd feel better about that. I want Hoyer either way. Let me make that clear. But if you wanted to tell me how, you know, you want to give me the crap I've been getting for the last few days, yeah, Maz, how could you possibly want to start Hoyer? I'll tell you how, because I think Stidham blows. That's why. So I would at least feel better about that if Bill decided on Tuesday morning, no, we're going Stidham this week, and we're going to go right out of the gate. We're going to prep him, and then we can do apples to apples. Even though Hoyer didn't get practice last week, Hoyer's been in the league. So you can say, okay, we can do something closer to apples. But this, I'll go with the guy who's played before and then just tell him, don't throw inside the 20.
So, but the whole thing about Newton falling into their lap and their port going forward, I mean, I don't want them going back into the quarterback market next year. I don't. I've said that a million times. To me, that would mean they've failed the transition from Brady. If Stidham's really not the guy, or Newton's not here for the next 3 years or something, if they've got to go somewhere else other than those two, they've failed. So, I mean, I stand by that. But to say that they're totally porked if Newton walks and Stidham isn't the guy is just wrong. I mean, I think there's going to be other guys available like Newton next year. I mean, and I'm not telling you that, you know, this guy's necessarily the guy, but the Packers are going to move on from Aaron Rodgers in the next year or two. I mean, they just are. You know, some combination of Sam Darnold, Mitch Trubisky, who's the bum with the Giants?
Daniel Jones.
No, okay, again, these were all top 10 picks in the last couple of years. I'm telling you that they're automatically the guy, but you know, one of those three, maybe two of those three are going to be available because all three of those teams are drafting in the top three, and it's going to be Trevor Lawrence and whoever that other quarterback is. So those guys might be right back available.
Josh, I mean, there Fields. Could be good veterans available next year, too. Mayfield, Matt Ryan, if you're into him, Matt Stafford, Derek Carr.
Alex Smith. I think there's going to be guys. So, I mean, as rich as the quarterback market was last year, I think you might get something similar in the next year.
Oh, man. Boy, wouldn't Bill get off playing musical chairs at quarterback?
Just another fuse in my fuse box, Maz.
Right, another. I'll replace a quarterback every year if I have to. That's a tough spot to do it, though, with their playbook. Like, you know, independent of, you know, the long-term or short-term thing. You're going to bring in a new quarterback? It's like bringing in a new offensive coordinator every year.
One more segment of your wonderful calls. Join us at 617-779-0985. First, an update.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's interesting. They've already ruled out Chris Godwin and LeSean McCoy. OJ Howard ruptured his Achilles on Sunday. Mike Evans and Scotty Miller, their wide receivers, are listed as questionable for tonight. I'm told that Mike Evans, a decision on his status won't be made until the pregame. They want to see how he works out, how he looks, and how he feels tonight. And typically in Bruce Arians' systems and on his teams, a player who doesn't practice during the week, as Mike Evans didn't, doesn't play in that game that night. Additionally, you've got other players here like Leonard Fournette who are listed as doubtful. And so this is going to be a patchwork Buccaneers offense, whether Mike Evans does or doesn't play tonight. You have to figure that there'll be a lot of two tight end sets with Rob Gronkowski and Cameron Brate. No quarterback really plays well against the Bears defense. And so it's an interesting matchup on a lot of levels in a short week where the Bucs have a lot of injuries, a lot to overcome in Chicago.
We got a ball game tonight.
Do you?
We got a ball game tonight, Murray.
Yeah.
That's right. Brady and the Bucks, Foles and the Bears.
But you heard that injury report, right, Mills?
Oh, yeah, though. They're slaughtered.
Well, you know what we're going to be hearing tomorrow?
Yeah, well, Brady doesn't have any weapons.
He has no weapons. He has no one to throw to. They're surrounding him. Is he going to get all huffy and puffy down in Tampa because they didn't surround him with the weapons that he needed?
Probably.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
You're going to get a lot of Cameron Brate tonight.
Yeah, Lord knows. He got to be surrounded by the best.
Mm-hmm. The best deserves the best. That's the thing. Actually, I'm not even so much worried about that as I am that terrible defense. And the fact that it's that team, if you've watched them and really paid attention, boy, are they dumb and sloppy.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like...
They can't get out of their own effing way.
So I'm interested in tonight because, you know, Brady's obviously fine, more than fine. But I don't trust Arians in that operation. Short week, injured, against a tough defense on the road. Like, let's see.
I like the Bears tonight.
Of course.
That's what you're asking.
Right, like, I mean, take Brady out of it, and that's a spot where the Buccaneers don't even show up.
Yeah, and that Tampa defense, Murray, not to, like, you know, go too far down that road. They're talented, but, boy, they gamble.
Up front, they are. I don't think the secondary is really all that great. You can throw the hell all over them. And, again, they're just a mistake waiting to happen on both sides of the ball. And the other thing that bugs me with watching them, too, is I don't know if you've noticed this. I still feel like Brady and that offense is stuck between, well, some of this stuff is for Brady, and it's what Brady's comfortable with. And some of the stuff is Bruce Arians and what he's normally done and, you know, grip it and rip it, no risk it, no biscuit, any of that kind of stuff. And they're trying to throw downfield too much. And because of that, there's too many mistakes. And that second half last week, it felt like he was more comfortable doing more of the type of stuff that you would normally see with him with the Patriots over the last 20 years. But in the first half, it's like, here's a deep ball for no reason. Here's a dumb play fake that you're mixing in for no reason. That after you haven't really established the run anyway, because their running backs kind of suck. I don't know. It feels like there's an in-between there that they can't figure out what the hell they're trying to do offensively.
Tonight's one of those little spots where I will see if Brady is beating the Buccaneers out of Tampa Bay, or are they still just the Bucs?
Oh, no, they're the Bucs.
Well, let's find out tonight.
Yeah, I like the Bears tonight.
And you should. But if Tampa goes in there and wins and looks good, like, you know, and they tighten it up a little bit, like, I'll say, okay, maybe they are on to something.
So the Bucs opened at 5.5 favorites at several books. They're down to about 3.5 by many of them, coast to coast.
Yeah.
Okay, meanwhile, the deny-deny-accuse, as the previous caller just said, it's interesting. The deny-deny-accuse approach of the New England Patriots already may be taking root as it relates to the blame game for COVID and this Kansas City game, Maz. What is being reported right now?
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, reported a little while ago that the Patriots asked for a larger locker room at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, which is apparently one of the smaller locker rooms, out of COVID concerns. They wanted a bigger space so they could spread their players out, and they were denied. Now, the way the story is being portrayed by Florio, the Patriots were denied, and then one of the players in that locker room, Stephon Gilmore, tested positive.
Did he mention the dinner with the COVID-positive quarterback 2 days before?
Conveniently, no. So that's like, so how come Florio doesn't say, well, the Patriots knew that Gilmore had dinner with Cam Newton, and they put him on the plane?
This is the accused part of the deny-deny-accuse. So why did you put a player on a plane out to a game who you knew just had close contact with a COVID-positive player? We followed the protocol. They didn't give us a bigger locker room. Deny, deny, accuse.
Totally, yeah. Let's pin it on the league, even though we tried to cut a corner. We followed the protocols.
Or pin it on Kansas City.
Yeah. We followed the protocols.
Deny, deny, accuse.
No, the protocol said we could bring him.
So now Gilmore got it because Kansas City wouldn't give him another locker room. Not because Gilmore had dinner with a COVID-positive individual a couple nights before.
I'll tell you, again, this is all in my head, okay? This has not been reported, but that is so Bill to look at it and say, well, no, the protocols allowed us to bring him because he tested negative, so we brought him, even though we know he had dinner with Newton on Friday night and we were putting him on the plane, in the bus, with other people, potentially getting them sick. But safety is the priority of our organization, keeping the players safe and healthy. Put Gilmore on the plane. We're playing Kansas City. I mean, like, think of the dueling messages there. Like, really, the dueling. And I'm sorry, I do believe that if Bill did see that loophole, and it's a loophole, I'm not, you know, I don't think he broke the rules per se.
Nope, he followed the rules.
But I do believe that they looked at it and said, well, we need him for Kansas City.
And it's a simple loophole. We didn't put a positive testing player on the plane.
Correct.
Test him, come up positive, you're allowed to travel.
Even though he was what I would deem high risk. Right? He was high risk.
So, again, I don't necessarily really blame him for that because I think the whole league is pushing it.
Sure.
And so, screw it. You know, if the whole league is pushing the boundaries here, you push the boundaries.
Yeah, but then don't blame the Chiefs.
Don't cry about it after the fact. Oh, we're being mistreated. Oh, we're irritated. Oh, the league's screwing us. Or the Chiefs won't give us the right locker room. Like, stop.
It's the NFL's fault that Cam Newton went to the mall and went hat shopping.
The Jets come in here and ask for a bigger locker room? You're giving the Jets a bigger locker room?
No, no. They're going to give them a smaller one and warm Gatorade.
Put them in the closet. With the ball boy, Birdman. Look at it. I mean, come on. Come on.
And warm Gatorade.
No team has dinked around with locker rooms and that sort of game operation stuff than you. Like the masters of it. You complain about your locker room now? If you put on an infected player on the plane? Like, come on, man.
Oh, it is. It's so weak. It's so, so weak. And it is. It's so Bill. Well, technically, he passed the test. Ah, put him on the plane. Technically.
No, Bill's right with what he said. I'm following protocol. Again, the player tested negative. So we can put negative players on the plane to go play that game. We're following league protocol.
Technically, we didn't tape the walkthrough. We just observed it.
Monitored it. He did have a camera with him, but we didn't tape anything. There's no tape.
I always said that's the equivalent of saying, we didn't take pictures of the cheerleaders in the shower.
We just watched.
No, man, we were there. We were absolutely looking through the peepholes. Oh, yeah, but no, we didn't put a camera in there or anything.
I haven't done the email yet. Go ahead, Billy, do you have the email of the day for me?
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Mez is a boo.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Today's show is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast. It's Mimecast. Mimecast.com. Ryan writes in, hey, Felger, given how embarrassingly fragile Hoyer is, do you think Kansas City having fans, even a low amount, played a part in Hoyer crapping himself? If so, should we expect Hoyer to play better in an empty Gillette Stadium? Love the show, Ryan. Like, I want to laugh at the question, but if Hoyer, something crawled inside his head and took a big giant dump.
Yeah, you know what? The more I think about it, I don't think it had anything to do with the crowd. I think it had everything to do with the red zone. I'm not joking.
Me neither.
Apparently, Michael Lombardi made some comment even before the game. Did you hear about this? Lombardi made some comment about, no, the issue the Patriots are going to have with Hoyer is when they get down to the red zone. That's been his history. Sure enough, that was before the game. Sure enough, they get into the red zone, really? And he craps his pants.
Really?
Craps his pants. I'm telling you, it's something about stepping over the 20-yard line. As soon as the ball, like if the ball gets to the 19, all of a sudden Hoyer... It's like crap city, man. It's crap fest. There's crap everywhere. It's like a horse farm, for crying out loud.
I got this other email. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the beginning of it I loved. Hi, guys. I'm a retired secretary who started watching your show when the lockdown started. Your negativity and gossip, and that's how it starts. I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to get my face.
It's on this.
She says, your negativity and gossip have cheered me greatly.
All right.
Signed, Joni, and then she goes on to COVID and all that. That's enough. That was enough to brighten my day.
Oh, yeah.
That our negativity, that our bullcrap hasn't angered her or turned her away, but it's cheered her greatly.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's elevated her entire psyche.
No, so if that's what you need, negativity and gossip, you've come to the right place. We will cheer you up.
Right, because, no, you know, I actually half get that. She's looking at it going, wow, these guys are worse than me. There's a reason for me to like myself.
I actually feel better about myself after watching this.
Exactly.
I didn't think I could feel worse. I actually feel better.
Wow, there are at least two people in the world who are worse human beings than I am.
They suck worse than I do. I actually don't feel so bad now. How about that?
Wow.
All right, Joni, thank you very much. That's going to conclude this portion of the program. Tomorrow is a agenda-free Friday, which I look forward to greatly. That's tomorrow at 2. Next is the final word.
Tell your fans.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
It's a big deal. We know this. So selling, for crying out loud. Fly Homes is in Boston to help. They'll help you get a home you love with a team of local agents who are excited to make it happen. With financial innovations that benefit you and the home seller, Fly Homes makes your offer stand out. Plus, Fly Homes offers mortgage services you can choose to use. Fly Homes is your Boston real estate company that makes it simpler to buy and sell at the same time, too. The Fly Homes trade-up was designed so you can use the equity in your home before you sell it. Plus, you'll only have to move once. Simpler, more fun. That's Fly Homes. Learn more at flyhomes.com.
Head over to Bernardi Toyota for great deals on every new vehicle in stock. Start your deal online today with the Bernardi Cares Price Pass. Or come in and get your current vehicle appraised within minutes. Just ask for the Bernardi Vehicle Exchange. Visit BernardiToyota.com.
From virtual fitness classes to a wide range of telehealth options to online behavioral health support, Harvard Pilgrim has benefits to access from home to help you stay healthy and happy. Learn more at HarvardPilgrim.org.
Take control of the roads ahead this winter with a new set of Continental Viking Contact 7 tires from Town Fair Tire. Town Fair has the full line of Continental winter tires, all at the guaranteed lowest prices. So don't let slippery winter conditions sneak up on you this year. Get to Town Fair, New England's largest discount tire dealer, and get your new set of Continental winter tires at the guaranteed lowest price. Because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody!
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair.
Hi, I'm Charlie Noyes, president of the 99 Restaurants. I'd like to personally invite you to visit your local 99. We've got a brand new menu with fresh local flavors of the season, like our fresh haddock, caught locally in the Gulf of Maine, crusted with fresh, creamy seasoned Jonah crab meat from Rhode Island. It's fresh, it's local, so come on in. We're following all the safety guidelines to keep you safe, and we hope to see you soon.
The 99 Restaurants, always the real deal.
Hi, Boston. Everybody knows there are things in life that make total sense, like switching to GEICO. They're the second largest auto insurer in the country, and they've been saving people money for over 75 years.
Other things make no sense, like glitter. It's fun for 5 seconds, but then haunts you for the next 5 years.
However, it makes total sense to bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. You could save a lot, and they can insure your motorcycle, boat, and RV.
Internet convenience fees, however, make no sense. I would wager that buying my concert ticket online is convenient for both you and me. So why are you charging me for it?
On the other hand, it still makes sense to switch to GEICO. They have an industry-leading mobile app you can use to pay your bill, file and manage a claim, or add a new driver. And emergency roadside service could help you get out of a pinch.
Conversely, the intense pain a stubbed toe causes makes no sense. Why do our toes overreact like that?
So, Boston, it makes sense to switch to GEICO. Online, over the phone, or with your local agent.
In business, things move quickly. You have to be ready to shift, pivot, adapt, then do it all over again. Comcast Business gives you fast, reliable internet on the nation's largest gig speed network. And for a limited time, you can also get fast shipping with Amazon Business Prime Essentials. Wow, that was fast. So no matter what comes next, you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Help your business bounce forward with this amazing new offer. Get started with powerful internet for $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. And ask how you can get 1 free year of Amazon Business Prime Essentials on us. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go online today to find out more. Offer ends 11/15/2020. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 100 megabits per second internet customers only. Early termination fee applies. After 24 months, monthly service charge increases to $99.99 a month. Equipment, installation, taxes, and other fees extra and subject to change. Call for restrictions and complete details.
Be sure to tune in and chill with Bob Soucy as he joins Felger and Maz Friday afternoon to get you ready for game day. Brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open a nice cold Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill. Tune in to Felger and Maz each and every Monday for Reentry Monday. Presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848.
Ponderosa Pines Wood Products is New England's leader for custom-built sheds. Contact them now at ppwpsheds.com or 781-585-4472.
Don't let your wager go sideways. It's the Over Under Podcast with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Get it before the next game at 985thesportshub.com.
And this hour of Felger and Maz has been brought to you by... Oh, there's nothing here, Billy. We're good to go. Never mind.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. Earlier today on the show, it came up just for a moment as we were talking about baseball and the playoffs, that Trevor Bauer, who was bounced with the Reds, now a free agent, looks like he wants to sign these one-year deal, Maz. One-year deals, Maz. And if you've been following him on social media.
Nutty Trevor Bauer.
He posted a photo a few days ago, or about last weekend, I think it was, that he was going to be flying into Boston. So, gets the Red Sox fans excited. Maybe Trevor Bauer is going to end up signing with the Red Sox. And the last couple of days, too, he's done the same thing to tease Yankee fans and San Diego Padre fans. Where's he going to go? Either way, he's an a-hole, as proven in the past by his love of drones, which set off Mad Mike.
That finger is bleeding. We got a shot of it, and it was literally dripping. And they'll look at Bauer's finger, and it is bleeding pretty badly. Bauer has to leave the game.
So this guy, Trevor Bauer, the guy who beat you, by the way, too, this nerd.
It's the ALCS. You're pitching to go to the World Series.
Yep.
And this little boy, this little child, had to play with his toys, his drones. He's pitching to go to the World Series.
Yep.
He heard it playing with his drone.
One of his drones.
Oh, my God. What is this? Are you kidding me?
The Indians are getting him an electric train for Christmas.
Bauer said he first got into drones in 2013 after seeing a drone video that reminded him of the Endor scene from Return of the Jedi.
Great scene.
I said, this looks awesome.
It's where the Ewoks live.
I've got to learn how to do that, said Bauer.
In the trees.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Are you kidding? Is he 8 years old?
I love the Ewoks.
In 2015, Major League Baseball ordered Bauer to ground his quadcopter drone, which he had been flying over the team's spring training facility in Arizona.
Correct.
Oh, you dork. You dork. You dork. Get a load of this dork.
I like Star Wars.
It's the World Series, dude!
My favorite one, Phantom Menace, probably.
You're pitching to go to the World Series!
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Darth Maul is one of the coolest villains. His theme song, which is... I like that one for whatever reason.
And this is what you're doing? It's the pinnacle of his profession. I couldn't believe this!
I'm surprised he didn't bring up Emperor Palpatine.
People play a drone should die. I agree. Vile, noise-making nuisances.
I heard the Patriots have a couple.
And that guy could end up being a pitcher here. It'd be good for business.
Again, need him yesterday.
Yeah, that's that's the moment they fly through all the trees in the Ewoks, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's a great scene.
Return of the Jedi is what that one is. Everything got pushed because of the game getting pushed. So today wasn't a Paul Perillo Wednesday. It was a Paul Perillo Thursday. With that being a sunshine day, comes the singing of Sunshine Day.
Here we go.
Let's hear it, Anthony.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Yeah, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
You're wearing your mask.
I gotta get out. Get me some of those rays.
Bill's gonna get mad.
Everybody's
if
smiling. Sunshine day.
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing.
Keep your distance.
Sunshine day.
Don't breathe.
Everybody
on me.
Seems Paulie. So happy today. It's a sunshine day.
Woo!
just so dumb.
They're cracking down in Foxborough. I don't think I'd want Perillo breathing on me either way.
Yeah, but it works every time.
Oh, man. Polly Paul.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.